Welcome to the Human Kindness at Work podcast, where you'll hear inspiring stories of people just like you making a difference in their corner of the world. You'll hear how human kindness is at work and how you can be a part of it. I'm Jennifer Clark. Ready to be inspired? Here we go. When you meet someone whose passion is investing in other people, you just know you've met a difference maker. My guest today is one of those people. Travis Bourbon has spent his entire career bringing out the best in others. He's worked for multiple nonprofits, from the Missouri Special Olympics to Harvesters, the largest food network in Kansas City. He's currently the Regional Advancement Director at the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society as they work to cure blood cancer. He's a husband and a father of two girls, and he wins the best award for the loudest dad on the soccer field. Welcome to the podcast, Travis Bourbon.
Thank you so much. And I love that intro. And yes, I pride myself in being the most obnoxious, loudest person on the sideline. And when I was a coach, I actually didn't just yell at the kiddos and encourage them. I encouraged the parents to engage and not like sit underneath a shade tree while it's 100 degrees outside. Let's go.
So, yes, you did.
Yes, thank you. That
was You're fun. Just a natural encourager. You know, that award was always given to my husband until we played your team. And then I was like, sorry, I have to dethrone you.
It's just because I can't sit still and I need, you know, like.
Oh, it's great. It's great. Now you can just use your combined loud voices on the same soccer field, right?
It's, absolutely. It's good to, yes. Yes.
Good
yes,
to have
yes.
our girls playing on the same club.
Yes.
All right, Travis. Well, we're going to jump in. On this podcast, we hear a lot of inspiring stories, and some of them are stories that human kindness have been showed to someone, and other times it's a story of a nonprofit that was formed to solve a problem, to make the world better. And looking at your resume, your experience, you've worked at tons of nonprofits. It's been your entire career. Everything from special needs to food insecurity, hospice care, cancer treatment. Can you start by telling us, what do you love most about your job?
Yes. Well, thanks for allowing me to be here and just the excitement of this. And really, I love inviting people to invest their lives for the betterment of others. And to me, there is no better way to invest your time, your resources, your energy into just kind of elevating others and elevating opportunities. And a big part of that is being able to just be aware and listen. I remember in 2010, what really shaped this for me was I was in Honduras, San Pedro Sula, Honduras, and I was leading a group of people there, and it was so much fun. We were having an absolute ball. We built a water tower for a little village called Los Cruces, and it was really, really cool opportunity. And then we went to a church service, and right before that church service, there was a small group that was there, and every single time they would have to rake a bunch of leaves and sweep up leaves. And there would be about 20 of them. And then there were two people that were like in charge of doing it. And so, you know, as the Americans that we were, we walked in and immediately were like, oh my gosh, you need a snowblower. So we collected money and bought the most expensive snowblower you could possibly buy in Honduras because it was just really expensive there. And so as we handed that snowblower to the two gentlemen that kind of oversaw it, there was tears in their eyes. And I realized that my intention was to help, but it actually was devastating because it was taking away jobs from the people that were there. And I think for me, when I take the time to listen and I take the time to understand, the people that I want to serve are far more educated on how to serve them than I am. And so that is something that really changed the way that I serve people and the way that I get to be a part of that. And then it's so much more rewarding because instead of me being a teacher or a leader, I get to be a learner. And I get to learn their culture. I get to learn how they're feeling, what they're going through. Some of it right now where I'm at with LLS, it's the pain of their story, but it's the hope that we bring. And so it's really cool to be able to kind of engage people that way.
That's a great story. I had a professor in college. I was studying cross-cultural stuff, humanitarian work. And he said, there is a reason that you have two ears and two eyes and one mouth. Go be a learner. And that's a really powerful story. How often do we sweep into a situation, not just cross-culturally, but anywhere, sweep into a situation with probably the right motivation, right? Like we want to help, but yes. Also a touch of arrogance, like, yeah. I've got it all figured out.
I know the best.
Yes.
Ooh, hold my good. Beer.
Yeah.
I'll take the broom, you know?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Wow. Okay. So you have been at LLS, the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. And why is this specific work meaningful to you?
Yeah. So, you know, I've had the privilege of working in nonprofits that I can really attach to the mission of. And so I talk about, you know, it's always great to put a face to the mission. And so I wish that I didn't have two faces to the mission, but I do. And my wife had three best friends growing up, and two of those best friends actually have kids with cancer. One of those kiddos, they discovered that he had cancer while my wife took him roller skating, and he fell and then got ill. And then at like 2 o'clock in the morning, realize, whoa, this is a lot. And so cool thing is that not only did he ring the bell, but he is at Disney World as we speak for his Make-A-Wish. And it is so cool. So
that's
part of it, right? Is like being able to realize that as we invite people to invest their lives for the betterment of others, cancer research is actually doing that. And so I'm excited to talk a little bit more about some initiatives that we have going on right now. But it is really cool and it's really rewarding. And our other buddy, his name's Connor, and he has leukemia. And not only, you know, are those two faces fueling me, I get to be a learner and I get to be just in a position of learning more and more about treatments and about strategies and things like that. So I am honored to be a part of an amazing organization like the Leukemia Lymphoma Society. It's kind of like a dream come true in a way. And it's really awesome.
Can you tell us a little bit about some of the initiatives that you have going on there at LLS?
There are so many amazing things about LLS. So it's like, how do I just narrow down to one? But for me, my wrist is filled with wristbands supporting kids with cancer. And so although that is not our only focus, that's a part of it. And so what we're really focused in on is curing all blood cancers and then improving the lives of blood cancer patients and their families. And so there are so many different people with blood cancers, unfortunately, and there's lots of different cures. And I was just sitting with a donor whose daughter is getting married at the end of May. And she actually invited her oncologist that was the doctor that was a part of the research and the development of treatment for her. And now he's even specializing that treatment for her so that she can get pregnant and have a baby. And like, that's wow. How small this world is. The person that actually created the cure is now walking step by step with the life of a patient. And then like, it's so cool because I've emailed that person and they've emailed me back and I'm like, dude, you cured cancer and you're talking to me? Like, it's such a cool thing to be a part of. So one of the things that I'm really excited about is what's called Dare to Dream. This will shock you. So I'll just ask it as a question.
Okay.
What is the most underserved population in blood cancer treatment? Who is the most underserved population?
I have no idea.
So it's children.
Really?
Yeah. So children are the most underserved.
I would have guessed that they were the most served.
Correct. But if you think about it, like, a lot of the research is going to go after people like me, 43-year-old, like right in the middle of life. And so a lot of that funding was going towards that. And so now we've got treatments for kids with leukemia and kids with other blood cancers. And this treatment is designed for a 40-year-old male.
Mm.
And I often describe it this way. So I love running, and my 10-year-old daughter now has taken on that passion as well. And so we go on runs together, and it was really cool. I was trying to figure out, like, how do I explain this, you know, of like, the treatment that we give to children is actually designed for the treatment of adults. And it would be like if I told my daughter, who's 10, hey, we're going to go on a run. The only shoes that you get to run in are mine. So let's go run. And now she's trying to fit into a shoe that's bigger than her foot is. She could stumble a little bit. It could cause other problems like skinning her knee or other things because she's not equipped the right way. And so Dare to Dream is a research that leads children to experience the right treatment. And it is so amazing. We have a pedal unit right here in Kansas City at Children's Mercy. It's the first of its kind. It's an all new treatment for pediatric cancer. And so it's amazing. And it's so cool that we get to be a part of it. And it's not just here in Kansas City. The movement is all over the country. And so I'm super excited. I don't know if this is too early, Jen, but I'm just going to go ahead and
go for it. Yeah.
There. So today is May 12th as this is airing. And we are starting today, and we didn't plan this. Like, this was not planned. This is just how cool the universe is. So May 12th through the 16th, we have Dare to Dream Days. And so we are going to be working on creating an opportunity for you to give if you'd like to. And what I would love to see is this community could raise like $1,000 for Dare to Dream. I think that would be super, super cool. And I'll even try to work on finding a match. That's what we'll do.
Amazing.
We'll find a match and we'll make this happen and it'll be awesome. And what's cool about Dare to Dream Days is cancer research is not cheap. It's really, really expensive. And I've heard it said by several people that it's not a shortage of researchers and it's not a shortage of opportunities. It's a shortage of funding, which is crazy to think about. And I don't always say it because it sounds so like sales pitchy, but it's reality. And sometimes reality isn't just a pitch. It's an opportunity, right? And so for Dare to Dream Days, it doesn't have to be a minimum gift of $10,000. It can be any amount. So maybe you know somebody that has been affected with childhood cancer and their birthday is May 12th. So give $12, you know, or go May 12th, $512. There's lots of different ways to be inspired. And so that is really, really cool. And I want kids not to be running in their dad's shoes. I want them to be fitted for their own treatment and so that they can run their race and that they can really persevere through their treatment because it's hard enough than for us to put another obstacle like that. So,
yeah, man, Travis, that's so good. I love that analogy. I love your pitch. And I think without a doubt that this community, that people that listen to Human Kindness at Work can jump in, and we can do $1,000, and I would hope that we can top that. So I will put that information in the show notes and we'll be promoting it, and I will start with $100. So we only have $900 to go.
Let's go. Amazing. And so now I'll be like a soccer coach.
Yes.
So let's go. So all those listeners out there, let's go. I'm talking to you. Don't sit underneath a shade tree while everybody's sweating it out. Get on the field with us and let's go.
Yeah. You know, I think so many people want to make a difference in the world, and we just need an opportunity, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We need, not everybody can do your job, but everybody can give something. Something, and especially for a grant or a match opportunity like this, where you don't have to have $10,000, you can just give up your Starbucks for the week and
absolutely
give it to the Lymphoma and Leukemia Society. Travis, I actually have a personal connection to this. One of our dearest friends of 20 years walked through a rare form of leukemia with her 3-year-old just 2 years ago, and you know. When you see that personally, like I was one of the first calls and driving down to stay with the kids so that they could get their youngster into the hospital. And when you see it that close up, it's just such a reality check that surely we can do something about this, right? Surely we can do something. And thankfully, she is in remission and she's healthy and thriving. And, you know, when it's so close to home, it
absolutely
just kind of wakes you up a little bit.
Yes. Yes. And it's incredible, the treatment now, you know, because, that donor that I was just talking about with his daughter, who's getting married in the end of May, because she got it in 2001, the drug was just passed by the FDA and like within months. And so she was able to get on that. So it's amazing, the advancements. And thanks so much for sharing your story. And I'm so thrilled to hear that, right, she's doing better.
She is. Yeah.
It is amazing to think about the power of a cure. And so really cool.
Travis, real quick, the people that listen to this podcast are people that want to make a difference in the world, in their world. What do you think it takes to make a difference?
It's not about being asked. It's about being invited. And people are inviting you all over. Mm. And all you have to do is be a learner and listen. And I think that lots of times we try to be fixers, not because we want to be in charge, but because we want to make a difference, right? But sometimes making a difference is being a part of something bigger than you could be on your own.
There you go.
And so that's where it's the invitation, right? As who's inviting you to be bigger than you can be on your own?
Hmm.
Who's inviting you to be a part of something? Because there is no work. Like I'm actually a part of curing cancer. Do you know how crazy that is? I'm the moron on the sideline yelling at kids and encouraging them with a long hair like, yeah, and I'm actually a part of finding a cure for cancer. And I don't know how to do research. I don't know how to do I don't know. I wish I could say the drug that girl is on, but like, it's Gleevec, I think is how you pronounce it. But at the same time, you're like, ooh, might need to edit that. I can't even pronounce the names of the drugs that are curing cancer, but yet I'm a part of it. And it's not because I know, it's because I was invited and now I get to be a part of it. And that to me is absolutely amazing.
That's beautiful. We all can play a part, and not in everything, but we can all play a part in something. To change our world. I love that.
Absolutely.
All right, Travis, we're running out of time, but how can listeners connect with you or with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society online?
Yeah, absolutely. So for sure, feel free to email me. My email is travis.bourbon@lls.org. You can also look me up on LinkedIn because I am there. I got hacked on Facebook, so I'm no longer a part of that community. Yes, I would love to connect with you. And then you can just check out our website, lls.org. And also, if you know of somebody that is just entering into the journey, go to lls.org and look at all the information. This is super important. And this is the first time I've said this out loud, and I'm going to like say this out loud all the time. I was just in an education place with patients in Omaha, and the presenter said that 1 in 3 posts are actually accurate on cancer. That means 2/3 of what you read on social media, 2/3 of what you read on the internet is bogus information. And like now there's like the Netflix documentaries on some of these people that are creating falsities. And so go to lls.org because it is 100% all backed by research and backed by some amazing things. Mm. So, yeah.
Thank you for being here, Travis. I love the way that your natural giftings of encouragement are being used on some huge scales. And I just think that's a testament to how who we are and what we have can be used anywhere in any capacity to make differences big and small. So love seeing that, cheering you on, maybe not with the loudest voice, but I am cheering you on as as you find a cure for cancer and help kids. A reminder to our listeners, we've got a challenge here from Travis and from the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society now, which is May 12th through May 16th. We are trying to raise $1,000 just from our listeners to go to LLS and specifically cancer treatment for children.
Let's go.
Amazing. We can do that and put human kindness to work.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jen. Appreciate you having me. This was awesome.
You're welcome. Take care.
If you're ready to help us reach the $1,000 challenge that Travis gave us, check out the link in the show notes and donate from May 12th to May 16th. 100% of your donation will go toward the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Dare to Dream Days fundraising and is tax deductible. Let's help transform treatment and care for kids with blood cancers. Thanks for making a difference together. See you next time.